राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने ॐ नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे न विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशकारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशकारिणे
सरस्वती देवी
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana,
यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान 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 जय गौरनिताय 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 जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय
जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपा 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 जय जय प्रभुपा
जय शुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य ഗൗരാംഗീരാധെ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനി സുരേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരി പ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരി ഹരി ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം ഹംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയധ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാപി കർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്തരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാധാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈ സംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ആദിത്യാനാമഹം വിഷ്ണു ജ്യോതിഷാം രവിരംശുമാൻ മരീചർമരുദാമസ്മി നക്ഷത്രാണാമഹം ശശി. സോ ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ വെൻ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദി വിഭൂതീസ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ, കൃഷ്ണസ് ഓപ്പുലൻസസ്, വി ഹവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് ഓപ്പുലൻസസ് ഇൻ വേഴ്സ് 21, ആദിത്യാനാമഹം വിഷ്ണു ജ്യോതിഷാം രവിരംശുമാൻ മരീചർമരുദാമസ്മി നക്ഷത്രാണാമഹം ശശി. So, sun and the moon are Krishna's two direct representatives in this world. They are Krishna's two immediate opulences, which anyone can see here in this world and understand Krishna through them. Krishna says here, we saw why sun god is important. Why was one? Sun god is important. Aditya, among the 12 Adityas, Dvadash Adityas as they are called, among the 12 Adityas, Vishnu, Krishna is, one of the name of the Adityas is Vishnu, and Krishna says, I am Vishnu among the Adityas. And among the stars, I am Shashi. Among the, all the stars, I am moon, Krishna says. So sun and the moon represent Krishna here. Then, Vedanam sama vedosmi, Devanam asmi pandava, Devanam asmi vasava, Indriyanam manaschasmi, Bhudanam asmi chetanam, Vedanam sama vedosmi. Krishna says, among all the Vedas, I am Samavedam. Why did Krishna say this? Because Krishna loves music. And Samavedam is among the among all the four Vedas, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam and Atharvana Vedam. Samavedam is that Vedam which is sung in musical melody. Krishna says, I am Samavedam among all the Vedas because Krishna loves music. And does not mean that all the other Vedas are not Krishna. They are also Krishnas. But Krishna gives in greater importance to Samavedam because it is sung melodiously. That is what it is. Devanam asmi vasava. Among the demigods I am Indra. Indriyanam manaschasmi. Among the senses I am mind. Krishna says I am mind. Why? Because of the very nature of the mind, the most difficult thing to control. Durjayana maham mana, Krishna says like that. And manasa bhudanam asmi chetasa chetana. And among the living entities, I am the life in them. I am chetana, or the life in the living entities. So, different opulences are mentioned there, referring to Krishna's picked the important ones. And Krishna also says in the beginning, it's impossible to discuss all the opulences. All Krishna's opulences are difficult to discuss. But what we'll see is some of the important ones which is visible to us in this world and why they are Krishna's opulences. And also we'll discuss some of the personalities among these opulences and how they attained that position. If we understand those things, it is possible to appreciate Krishna is present in every living entity. This is where it is leading to. At the end, it leads to the presence of Krishna in every living entity. Vasunam pavakas chasmi. Sorry. रुद्राणाम् शङ्करश्चास्मि वित्तेशो यक्षरक्षसाम् वसूनाम् पावकश्चास्मि मेरुशिखरिणामहम् Among the Rudras, there are 11 Rudras mentioned in the Ekadasha Rudras. In the creation, they are like that. 11 Rudras are mentioned. And among those Rudras, Krishna says, I am Shankara, Shiva. The 11 Rudras are Manu, Manu, Mahinas, Mahan, Shiva, Hrududvaja, Ugraretas, Bhava, Kala, Vamadeva, and Dhrudavrata. These names are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto. You can find them there. So among those 11 Rudras who were born of Lord Brahma, Krishna says, I am Lord Shiva of all the 11 Rudras. I am Lord Shiva. Rudranam Shankaras Chasmi Vitesho Yaksharakshasam. Among the Vitesha, among the Yaksharakshasa, Yakshas and Rakshasas, Krishna says, I am Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. If you go to Badrinath, you will find there is a Kubera mountains there. He is present there eternally. And Kubera is worshipped there also in Badrinath. And so, Vitesho Yaksharakshasam, among the Yaksharakshasas, I am Kubera, Krishna says. Vasunam Pavagaschasmi Meru Shikharinamaham. Among the Vasus, 8 Vasus are there. They are also mentioned in the Bhagavadam. Apodruvascha Somascha Dharascha Ilanilo Anala Pratyushascha Prabhasascha Vasavo Namavismradaham. They are Apa, Dhruva, Soma, Dhara, Anilo, Anala, Pratyusha, Prabhasa, and these are the 8 Vasus. And out of that, Pavaka is, I am Pavaka, Krishna says. So, among the Vasus, Krishna says, I am Pavaka. And Meru, Shikharinamaham. And among the mountains in this universe, in this creation, Krishna says, I am Mount Meru. Mount Meru is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in detail. From Mount Meru, Ganga river flows from there, the origin of Ganga. It's not visible to us. Our mundane senses cannot see the Mountain Meru. Mountain Meru exists because it's based on Mountain Meru that the universe is the Jambudvipam, and in the middle of Jambudvipam is the location of Mount Meru. The details of Mount Meru is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which you can see from there. Purodasam Jamukhyam Mam Vidyavartha Brihaspadim Senani Namaham Skanda Sarasamasmi Sagara. That among the, Krishna says, Purodasam Jamam Vidyavartha Brihaspadim, among all the Purohits or the priests, Krishna says, I am Brihaspadi, the priest of the demigods. And Senani Namaham Skanda, among all the Senanis or the fighters, warriors, I am the commander-in-chief, who is Skanda, Kartikeya. This Skanda or Kartikeya is Lord Shiva's son, as Kartikeya Skanda, he is called as Skanda, but he also comes in Krishna's pastimes as Krishna's son, as the son from Jambavati as Samba. That is also Skanda. Senani Namaham Skanda, Sarasamasmi Sagara. Of all the accumulated water which is present everywhere in the form of lakes and tanks and everything, Krishna says, I am the ocean. Sarasamasmi Sagaram. Krishna says like that. Maharshinam Bhurgraham, Viramasmi Egamaksharam, Yajnanam Japayajnasmi, Stavaranam Himalayam. Similarly, Maharshinam Bhurgraham, among all the sages, Krishna says, I am Bhrigu. Now, Krishna also said before, Sarasamasmi Sagara, of all the collected water or the water which is accumulated or collected anywhere, Sarasamasmi Sagara, Krishna says that why this has been given to the sea, because Krishna says my opulences are unlimited, and these opulences in this world, particularly the ocean is very attractive because of its vastness. And when one goes to the river, to the ocean or to the seaside, one should think of ocean as Krishna's direct manifestation, like sun and the moon. And due to its vastness, one can immediately recognize one's own small position, how small one ourselves we are in relationship with the ocean. And it is in the ocean that Mahavishnu lies down in the Kausal Ocean on Adishesha. Krishna's bed is Adishesha. He lies down on that in the ocean, isn't it? So we know that That is relationship. So ocean should remind us immediately of Krishna, because Krishna is lying down in the form of Mahavishnu in the ocean. So there is Krishna's permanent residence in the Mahavishnu form is in the ocean. So that is a memory what ocean should bring to us, and we should remember that we are close to Krishna at that time when we are close to the ocean. The ocean should bring back those memories of Krishna's presence in the ocean as Mahavishnu lying down on in the ocean. And so this way, all the opulences can bring certain memories of Krishna to us. Krishna has selected those ones which are the important ones in order to bring our attention to Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality. That in the Krishna's position in this ocean is very important, because as and when we go closer to ocean, it should bring us the memory of Krishna to us. That is the goal behind it. So sun, the moon is also important. Why? Because the sunrise and the sunset should bring us the memory of Krishna. Because Krishna is present in the sun planet, Krishna is present in the moon planet as well. There is nowhere Krishna is not present. But because they are powerful objects in this world which catches our attention, it is easy to remember Krishna by observing them. That is the most important thing. Worshipping sun planet has been there in the whole Vedas. It is mentioned also. Worshipping sun is a very established procedure. And that is because the sun is present before us throughout the day, and worshipping sun as representative of Krishna has been there from the Vedic times. And also the moon. Moon is present. How moon supports our living in this world. Explained in the Bhagavad Gita as we mentioned before. The presence of the moon helps the farmers for the vegetables to grow here. And it's the taste of the vegetables that is due to the presence of the moon shine. And therefore Krishna says the presence of the sun and the moon have to be observed as me present there in sun and the moon. Similarly, the ocean also is another representation of Krishna. In the Bhagavadam, later on you will find the ocean will come as a spiritual master to Dattatreya Maharshi. That time it's spoken for a different reason. But you can see in Krishna's creation, everything has got something to offer. That they have some lessons to learn from them. We come to this planet as Earth, as human beings, and our tendency is not to take anybody seriously. We think this whole thing is given to us to enjoy. That is our mood. But Krishna's thinking is, if you are intelligent, Krishna says, this whole creation itself is a school for one to learn about my opulences, about to know about me. One can come here. And here you can learn everything. Dattatreya Maharshi mentions this, that Kapodam Ajagara Sindhu Patangamadugal Gaja, that in there he says about the ocean. Ocean is also an example. What did he learn from ocean? He learned from ocean one thing, that one should always be like the ocean. That no matter what, so many rivers flowing the water into the ocean, continuously the water is getting evaporated by the sun from there. It develops into the form of clouds and it goes all over. But in spite of all that, the Dattatreya Maharshi says there, it does not affect the ocean. Ocean is very stable. And one should have a steady mind in the way like the ocean is, not disturbed by anything. Always able to absorb any shock in this world and able to carry on with life. So Krishna says that ocean, due to its gambhiryam means that ability to withstand any shock, and also that depth of understanding or the depth of the ocean, that's also the depth of realizations, should support one person in their spiritual life. So Krishna says, when one sees the ocean, he should remember me. When one sees the sun, he should remember me. When one sees the moon, he should remember me. Like that, Krishna goes on 3-4 important objects in this world for our realization. And then, now Krishna turns into certain personalities who are important. Maharshinam Bhrigurham. Krishna says, among the sages, I am Bhrigu. And later on, Krishna will say, Devarshinam Janarada. Among the Devarshis, I am Narada Maharshi. So why Bhrigu and Narada Maharshi has been given this importance? It's important to know this, because otherwise we won't understand the connection between all Krishna's different opulences. Maharshinam Bhrigurham. Krishna says, among the Maharshis I am Bhrigu. What is the relationship between Bhrigu and Krishna? What is the relationship between Bhrigu and Krishna? Is it that because Bhrigu's daughter, Mahalakshmi, was married to Mahavishnu? Is that the reason? Mahavishnu, when the ocean of milk was churned, from that came different objects. Uchaishravas has come from the ocean. The pot of nectar came from the ocean. Airavatam, the mount, Airavatam, the elephant, Indra's elephant came from the ocean. And eventually Mahalakshmi came from the ocean. This Mahalakshmi married Vishnu. Vishnu's consort is Mahalakshmi. And this Mahalakshmi is Bhrigu's daughter. From the Puranas you can see Bhrigu's daughter, Maharshi Bhrigu's daughter is Mahalakshmi. And one may wonder, is it because Bhrigu's daughter is married to me, therefore Bhrigu is important? No, it's not. That's not the reason for that. Quite often we will see the connection like that, in that way. But that's not the reason. That's not the reason behind it. Reason for that is, in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find, at the very end of the 10th canto, there is an examination Bhrigu was asked to do on the Trimurtis, particularly Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. The three of them were tested by Bhrigu. All the sages assembled together and they decided to find out among the three devatas or the trinity as they refer to, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who is the greatest. They wanted to find out. So they discussed all each other, the sages discussed this, and they decided to depute Bhrigu to do the experiment on them, to find out who is the greatest. And Bhrigu's experiment is in the Bhagavatam. You can read that in the 10th canto. What happened was, Bhrigu first went to Satyalogam, to Brahma's abode. When he went to Brahma's abode, Brahma was not there in his office. He was away from his executive chair, whatever it was. So Bhrigu went into the office, Brahma's office, sat in his chair comfortably, put his feet on his table and sat there as though he's the boss. He sat there very comfortably. At that time, came in Lord Brahma. Now you must remember, Bhrigu is Lord Brahma's son. Generally, when the father comes, Brahma was seeing Bhrigu after a long period of time. And when he walked in, he saw Bhrigu sitting on his chair and not showing any respect. Normally, Brahma expected that Bhrigu will get up and pay his obeisances to Brahma, being the father. So Brahma looked at Bhrigu, and Bhrigu had no movement at all, rather sat there looking at Brahma in a serious mood. So Brahma got very upset with Bhrigu and told him to leave the place immediately, get out of his seat and move away, seeing his disobedience and insulting behavior. Bhrigu got up from the seat and walked out. While walked out, Brahma could not understand what was going on, why what was happening. So that time Brahma got very confused about this Bhrigu's behavior and called him back. Bhrigu, to come back, to tell him what has happened. Bhrigu says, it's over, test is over, he says. That, and he walked out from there. So only then, Brahma came to know that he has come to test him, and Saraswati, Brahma's wife, told him that Bhrigu has come actually to see how patient and tolerant you are. But because of the Rajogunam inside in Brahma, he could not tolerate that. He could not tolerate the behavior. This is what happens. This also, this story will indicate how the modes of nature can even affect the demigods or the gods also in that way. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva also can be affected by the modes of nature. In other words, they represent the modes of nature in this world. The three modes of nature are so important that how it manifests in a person, before you know it has happened, and then by the time you come to senses to change the situation, it's all done. Business is over. So here, Brahma also experienced the same problem. So Brahma tried to console Bhrigu. Bhrigu said, no, there's nothing to console. It's finished, he said. And he walked out from there. Straight away from Satyalogam, where did Brahma go? Brahma went to see Lord Shiva in Kailas. So the father got offended there, isn't it? Brahma got offended. And now he went to Lord Shiva to see what's the situation with Lord Shiva. Now Lord Shiva, by creation, Lord Shiva is Bhrigu's brother, isn't it? They both come from Lord Brahma, is the father. So they are both brothers. So Bhrigu walked into Kailas, Lord Shiva was sitting there, and Sri Parvati was somewhere else in the Kailasam. But when Bhrigu walked in, Lord Shiva found great happiness, my brother had come. And out of happiness, he wanted to go and embrace his brother Bhrigu. As soon as he came to embrace Bhrigu, Bhrigu says to Lord Shiva, no, stay away from me. He says, don't touch me, he said. With this snake, Vasuki on the neck, and full of ashes on the body, and the deer, the skin of the elephant in the waist, and a deer skin on the shoulder, and full of matted hair. Altogether, Bhrigu just didn't like that form. He says, you are dirty, you are not touched, he says to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, seeing his brother's attitude, he has come to visit him, and this is how he knew what Lord Shiva is normally like, and fully knowing still he could have spoken properly, but seeing his offensive nature, Lord Shiva decided to kill him straight away. Took his trident and went to kill Bhrigu. Bhrigu said, no, I'm going, he said, walked out from there. By then, Sri Parvati comes to Lord Shiva and consoled him. Told him, don't do anything to Bhrigu. He has only come to test you, he said. By now, Lord Shiva has cooled down, but it's too late again. Same thing what has happened in Satyalokam. So, Lord Shiva says to Sri Parvati, how did you know that he has come to test me? Sri Parvati says, Saraswati has phoned me from Satyalokam and told me that Bhrigu is on his way. But by the time I got to you and to tell you, that this is what is Bhrigu is coming for. So Saraswati says, let Vishnu take the prize. What can I even do about it? Out of the three. So Lord Shiva also failed in the test, in other words. That Lord Brahma failed and Lord Shiva also failed. Now let's see what happened in Vaikuntham. Bhrigu goes to Vaikuntham to see Vishnu there. When he went to see Vishnu there, Vishnu was lying down on the Adishesha, with his feet in Mahalakshmi's lap and in a yoga nidra there, in sleepy mood, yoga nidra as it is referred to, it sleeps there. So when Bhrigu walked in, Mahavishnu did not notice it. Mahavishnu didn't take a notice of it. And not only didn't notice it, that Sri Mahalakshmi also did not wake up Mahavishnu, knowing well that may disturb him. So she didn't say anything. Bhrigu came closer to Vishnu, and seeing that Vishnu was sleeping, with the right foot, gave a good kick on the chest. A very good kick on the chest. You will see in the Vishnu Sahasranamam prayers, Shandakaryam Bhujagashayanam Palmanabham Suresham Vishwakaryam Gaganasadrisham Meghavarnam Shubhangam Lakshmi Kandam Kamalanayanam Yogi Hridhyana Gamyam Vande Vishnum Bhavabhayaharam Sarvalokaiganatham Meghashyamam Pida Kausheya Vasam Srival Sangam Kaustudolbhasidangam Punyobedam Pundarikaya Daksham Vishnum Vande Sarvalokaiganatham Sashanga Chakram Sagirida Kundalam Sapida Vastram Sarasiru Hekshanam Saharavakshasthalashobhikaustubham Namami Vishnum Shirasa Chadurbhujam. 400 form of Vishnu, which reveals some in the that mark of the kick of Bhrigu is on Mahavishnu's chest. So as soon as Mahavishnu was kicked by Bhrigu and Bhrigu pulled back, Vishnu woke up from his sleep. Vishnu woke up from the sleep. But unlike Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, Vishnu didn't react in the same way. So the purpose of Bhrigu's visit to the Trimurtis, or Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, was to find out who is in the mode of goodness. Satugunam, who has the highest Satugunam, or mode of goodness. This was the test. And what happened with Vishnu was, Lord Vishnu did not only didn't say anything about it, immediately held on to Bhrigu's feet, because he was sleeping, Vishnu didn't know which feet has kicked. So caught all onto the wrong feet even and started massaging Bhrigu's feet and saying to Bhrigu that have, by kicking my stone-like chest, has it got hurt? Has it got hurt? This was the question Mahavishnu has raised to Bhrigu at that time. Mahavishnu raised this question to Bhrigu at that time. Bhrigu was amazed by this question of Mahavishnu, that he has kicked on the chest of Mahavishnu, and the response from Mahavishnu was whether Bhrigu has been got hurt. Bhrigu was hurt by this kick from Mahavishnu. That is what Mahavishnu has asked Bhrigu. So Bhrigu was amazed by that patience, by the tolerance of Vishnu, and said to Vishnu that this taste of tolerance, what I have experienced today from you, let this tolerance be there with you forever. Let this tolerance be with you forever. Never once let this not leave you. And automatically Bhrigu paid his obeisances to Vishnu. And Vishnu knew already why he had come. So there was no problem. Because Vishnu means what? Vyapanashilan is present in everyone's heart. So Bhrigu also, although tried to experiment with Vishnu, that in that experiment Bhrigu had to recognize Vishnu's position, who he is. So it was then that Vishnu accepted that Bhrigu's prayer, that he will show this tolerance all the time. And it is because of this tolerance what he has shown to Bhrigu. And Bhrigu has accepted this from Vishnu. That Bhrigu's request to Vishnu that he will show this tolerance forever to all living entities. That is why Krishna is tolerating all of us. That's the reason why Krishna is tolerating us. But sometimes we wonder, isn't it? With the way we are in this world, how we are carrying on with our kind of activities, what we are engaged in, the sinful activities particularly, how it's being tolerated. It's because Bhrigu's prayers to Vishnu that Vishnu should tolerate us. And it is because of this tolerance alone that we are still able to, otherwise if Vishnu has reacted to the offenses what we do or to the other living entities in this world, how we react with them. And each other also in this world. What to talk about other living entities? Mutually, also between the human species, how we are reacting to each other. Vishnu would have probably taken a different attitude towards us. He has not punished us yet because this guarantee he has given to Bhrigu that he will be tolerant always. He will tolerate us. And therefore, we are not getting punished by Vishnu's law. So Bhrigu, this is that greatness of Bhrigu. Bhrigu was able to understand the taste, the tolerance level of Vishnu. Therefore, he was able to learn the tolerance of Vishnu. And therefore, Krishna says, I am Bhrigu. Krishna says, I am Bhrigu. Because of this reason. That not because of any other reason. That Bhrigu was the person who had experimented and found out that Krishna is the Bhrigu was the person who has tasted the beauty or the beauty of patience of Mahavishnu. Therefore, Krishna says, I am Bhrigu. Maharshinam Bhrigu Raham. Among all the sages, among the Maharshis, I am Bhrigu. Then, Giram Asmi Egam Aksharam. I am the letter Om. We have seen in Bhagavad Gita before, I think it was chapter 8. Akshara Brahma Yogam. Why the letter Om is important? A, U, Ma. Three letters combined together and becomes Om. Krishna says, among all the letters, I am Om. This letter, Om. And you will see all the Vedic hymns starts with this letter, Om. I mentioned this before that we do not understand the importance of letters. That's why we don't know how to value it. Just like I'll give you an example. Once a farmer was ploughing in the field. While ploughing in the field, he got a diamond from the field. But he had no clue what's the value of the diamond. He just thought something attractive, a stone, and he took it out and put it on the on the side of the field. He left it there, thinking that maybe he'll take it home and give it to somebody to play with, not knowing the value of the diamond. It was while ploughing the field he got it. So he was continued ploughing. That time, a businessman came that way, who was a diamond merchant. He came that way. When he saw the diamond, he recognized it, and he knew the value of that diamond. He knew the value of the diamond. So he wanted to buy it of the farmer. And as a businessman, very shrewd and cunning, knew that the farmer will have no knowledge of it, nor will not have any value of the product, what he has got, the value of the material, what he has got with him, of this diamond. So he very politely, like a businessman, he wanted to negotiate with him. He asked the farmer whether he would sell this diamond to him, and he wanted to buy it off him. The farmer, not knowing anything, the value of the diamond, says to the businessman, this diamond merchant, he says to him, that do you want it? You take it. Don't have to give anything to me, he says. You just take it if you want it. He was just feeling that it is something very attractive, but apart from that, what value has it got? This is what the farmer's understanding was. So he handed over that diamond to this businessman, diamond merchant. He took it and went away and sold it and made money out of it. Good amount of money. But farmer didn't know the value of the diamond. The letters are like that. All the letters are like that. And Krishna will say later on, Aksharanam Akarosmi. Among all the letters, I am letter R. That will come later. But here, Girama Chegama Aksharam, that among the words I am letter Om. So we do not know the value of these letters because we haven't been trained to understand that. But those who know the value of the letters, they know why Om is so important. Om has been given a specific important position in all the mantras. Every mantram starts Om, Bho, Bhuvasva, like Gayatri starts like that. And several other mantras also, every important mantram, you will start with the letter Om. So Om has this important value given to it because of the potency of that letter. Krishna says, I am that Om. I am that Om. We discussed this in the 8th chapter, a little bit more in detail, when Krishna spoke about the Aksara Brahma Yogam, Tarika Brahma Yogam. Maharshinam Bhagavraham Giramasmegam Aksharam. Then, Yajnanam Japa Yajnosmi. Krishna says, among all the sacrifices, Yajnam, among all the sacrifices, I am chanting the holy name. Just see how Krishna gives importance to Japam. Japam means chanting the holy name. So, Krishna says, Yajnanam Japa Yajnosmi. Among all the Yajnams, I am Japa Yajnam, chanting the holy name. Now, why it is given so much importance is, all the sacrifices in the Vedic culture, they have got problems. Problems in the sense that in order to execute them, it's difficult because of the intricacies of the management of it, getting the right people to perform them, the right ingredients, the time, the place, the circumstances, so many things are involved in the success of a sacrifice or a yajnam. That is very well known. And therefore, all the yajnams in the Vedic system are very difficult to perform. And if it is not done properly, the results may not come. The results won't come either. So all the yajnams becomes difficult to perform and the results also may not come. But Japa Yajnam, Krishna says, Yajnanam Japa Yajnosmi. I am among the yajnam, I am chanting the holy name. Krishna says, it may sound simple, but if you understand the chanting process of the holy name and the effect of chanting on a person and the importance of chanting the holy name, one can understand why Krishna has spoken this. No restriction on time, no restriction on place, no restriction on the performer of the sacrifice, which is the person who is chanting the holy name. There is no restrictions on anyone. Anyone is allowed to chant the holy name anywhere, under any time, under any circumstances. That is, still it is considered acceptable by Krishna. Krishna recognizes that. So Krishna says, Yajnanam Javayajnosmi, that among all the yajnam, I am Javayajnam, or sacrifice, or the the chanting the holy name. Japam has a four different stages, which are discussed in the Upanishads also, where it says Vaikari as the beginning of the chanting process. It's Vaikari, Madhyama, Pashyanti, and Para, the four things. Because the chanting of the holy name, as it comes from the Nadam. Nadam is the sound vibration from where the creation has started. From Nadam came the sound vibration, Shabda Brahmam it's called. From Nadam, it slowly comes down through different levels of existence. For example, if you look through our three states of existence, the sounds what we hear in three different states are different. I don't know whether you have thought about this. Like in the vacant state, you sense the sound in one form. The same sound you sense in another form in the dream state, and in a different form in the deep sleep, and in the samadhi state in another form. So accordingly, these four levels of sound also exist. The sound when it is heard in samadhi is in one form, in the deep sleep is sushupti is another form, in the dream state is a different form, and in the vaikari form we hear in the vacant state. So vaikari, madhyama, pashyanti, and para. There's a four different levels where one can hear the sound at different states. And when the sound comes through these different states where we are, when the spirit soul is in different levels, the nature of the sound changes. And then here we are used to hearing through our senses. Senses finishes in the vacant state, isn't it? Only in the senses we can hear in the vacant state. But we can still hear, even if we don't have the ear, in the dream state and the deep sleep. That is possible. But only thing, we haven't got trained to do that. We have not that experience yet. Therefore, sometimes we think that only, just like I was mentioning before, that you are able to see things in the vacant state. With our eyes, we are able to see things, isn't it? Wide open, we see so many things. We are able to relate with each other. But in the dream state, when the eyes are closed, we are still seeing. How are we seeing then? Where is that vision coming from? So there is somewhere else something which is giving us that sense perception of the job what eyes are doing in the vacant state. We are able to see that in the dream state also. So similarly, hearing process also is possible even in the other states of existence to happen. But that will only happen when one has advanced in the process of the chanting the holy name. All these different capabilities comes to him when he goes into higher levels of realization. From chanting process, this is what happens. When you chant the holy name, chanting the holy name develops this special capacity to understand the very finer things of life, especially the sound vibration. When we say sound vibration of the holy name, we means these things, that the sound vibration has got some special features in different states of existence also, and that goes on further. And when you are in touch with the samadhi state, you can hear the para, shabdam para. Para means the sound vibration that is originally started from the very beginning of the creation, nada brahmam. Because from sound came the creation, you have to remember. And once the sound has been released, that sound goes on eternally. It doesn't stop, it doesn't come to an end. The sound we are used to is the material sounds, what we have heard. But the spiritual sound vibrations, that goes on forever. And that sound vibration, we cannot perceive in today our consciousness, but in the advanced state of realizations, Shastra says, one can even perceive them. So, this is why, yajnanam javayajnosmi, Krishna says, among the sacrifices, I am yajnam. Then, next one, stavaranam himalaya. One should keep all these things in mind, because through them one can see Krishna, how Krishna is present in this world, in all our day-to-day life here. Stavaranam Himalaya, among all the stavara, stavara means one who has no, one who is immovable, who lives, who stays steady in one place, immovable, stavaram. Among stavaram, I am Himalaya, Krishna says. Himalayam, Himalaya mountains. When you go to Himalayam, you will see why Himalayam has been given this great importance. Why is Himalayam given great importance? There is a reason behind all these things. When Krishna says Himalayam, not only due to its size, size-wise also Himalayam is the greatest mountains and the greatest mountain in the world. Apart from that, when one goes to Himalayam, what does he see is there? This Himalayam is the abode of all the great sages. In other words, spiritual knowledge flourished in Himalayam because of the presence of the sages there in Himalayam. That's the beauty of Himalayam. The spiritual knowledge flourished in Himalayam. Once you leave Hrishikesh and onwards, you start moving further up. You will see on the way to Badrinath, Kedarnath and further. If you go up to Badrinath and start looking, you will see the huge mountains behind them standing thousands of feet behind that. So it's a number of peaks, one after the other, and endlessly standing there. And they give us this great impression of that, that steadiness of Himalayam. As soon as he comes to Himalayam, you recognize that your smallness, or how small we are in relationship with Himalayam. So, when one goes to Himalayam, Krishna says, the Himalayas are giving us the impression that Himalaya represents Krishna in this world. Himalaya represents Krishna in this world. Himalayas, the ocean, the sun, the moon, they are all direct manifestations of Krishna in this world. So, Himalayam's greatness is that Adhyatma Vidya, the knowledge of the self, knowledge of the soul. If you consider the whole world, where the knowledge of the soul has been discussed to such depth, and where all these realizations of the soul started, it's in Himalayam. That's the beauty of Himalayam. That's where the knowledge of the soul developed. Vedavyasa Maharshi went there, didn't he? His ashramam is also there. And Srinarada Maharshi lives there. And similarly, Naranarayana Maharshi lives there. All the other great sages also, if you look, they will have their apartment there somewhere, wherever it is. All of them have a place in Himalayam. Because that is the place for Adhyatma Vidya. Adhyatma Vidya, spiritual knowledge develops in Himalayam. And the whole environment is so good that anyone who goes to Himalayam, you can see sometimes when you travel to Badrinath or Kedarnath and places like that, sometimes Himalayam shows its nature, a huge landslide blocks your road, you can't go further. So who moved them? Who moved these mountains like this? They decided to drop down like that. That is Krishna. That this Himalayam, although it may appear that it is a lifeless entity standing there. No, Himalayam has got so much history behind it. In literature, in the Shastram, and in the spiritual knowledge, everywhere, Himalayam has a very important role. Sri Parvati, Kailasam, everybody, Lord Shiva, their abode, is also in Himalayam. So from all angles, Krishna says that Himalayam is me. That's what Krishna says here. Stavaranam Himalayam. That so all the Yajnanam Jabayatnyosmi Maharshinam Bhruguraham Giramasmiyamaksharam Yajnanam Jabayatnyosmi Stavaranam Himalaya. So this way Krishna says that that look at these important objects and see me there first. First start seeing me in these places. Because it's easy to know, because they are right in front of us in this world. If one wants to know Krishna, one can start with these things. And slowly he will see further and further. He will start observing Krishna is in every living entity as well. That in order that we should inquire about Krishna, we should inquire about Krishna. And knowing very well our situation, Krishna has presented himself in this way. In the Bhagavad Gita, nobody can understand Krishna completely. No one can understand Krishna completely. But when one is a devotee and when one starts to understand Krishna, Krishna gives some opportunities to know him. That is what it is. That through this, one can slowly get to understand Krishna. Because, unlike as I mentioned before, compared to all other personalities who have come to this world, Krishna is more difficult to understand. And Krishna's activities are also difficult to understand. As I mentioned, that steadiness of Krishna in all circumstances, never at any point, never Krishna showed any disturbed nature. always relaxed about it, whether it was Mahabharata war, or whether it was dancing with the gopis, or while he was killing Kamsa, or with Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna was least, he was not at all affected by any of them, and always acted completely detached to everything what was going on. Even while departing from this world, while instructing Uddhava about the transcendental knowledge, So who can do this except the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Nobody else can do such a thing. Most of us, if somebody is thinking Supreme Personality of Godhead, they should think twice before they say anything about it. Even little things in this world disturb our mind, isn't it? And here, Krishna, Supreme Personality, who has not been affected by anything, so transcendental in everything. That transcendental nature of Krishna is what makes him that he is the Supreme Personality. You can see in practical example also, different incarnations if you take, even if you take different incarnations. Lord Ramachandra came here. Lord Ramachandra was an embodiment of Dharmam. Dharmam was the main concern of Ramachandra's life in this planet. That was what the intention was. So Ramachandra executed everything based on Dharmam, isn't it? And Ramachandra's life was so serious that Ramachandra had no time for any kind of humor. Or you will see everything spoken very seriously while dealing with Lakshmana, while dealing with Kausalya, while dealing with Dasharatha, or even with Vasishtha, or even with Bharata and Shatrughna, or with all the great sages in the Chitrakuta. All the time, Ramachandra's status is very serious. Very seriously spoken, everything. Very serious and very, in fact, it says that, Valmiki asked Sri Narada Maharshi, show me one personality who have complied with Dharmam completely in all aspects all the time. It was, Narada Maharshi has to say, it was only Ramachandra, nobody else. So that is Ramachandra's position. And even after killing Ravana was killed, Ramachandra was still serious. And all Ramachandra's administration, the pattern of establishing Dharmam in this world, if you see all that, how serious a personality Lord Ramachandra was. So in other words, Lord Ramachandra's life was centered around Dharmam. Take for example, if you take Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha's case was what? Lord Buddha was another great personality, wasn't it? Lord Buddha felt so much compassion for the living entities, always absorbed in meditation, and wanted to relieve the distress of this world through meditation and through instructions to the human society. And Lord Buddha was also very, very compassionate to the living entities. So compassion was the principle on which Lord Buddha has based his life in this world, ahimsa, non-violence, due to compassion. If you come to Lord Jesus Christ, what was Jesus Christ's great contribution? He wanted to develop loving relationship between the living entities. That there should be no hate, one should be able to love each other, another living entity, to show that mercy to each other. That is what Lord Jesus Christ wanted to establish in this world. And if you ask Lord Ramachandra, Lord Buddha or Lord Jesus Christ to play the flute, will they play? But Krishna was there with the flute in the hand, even while doing all this business in the world, Krishna was still able to, that is the speciality of Krishna. Krishna was transcendental, so transcendental to everything, that this world, this is one planet out of the millions and trillions of planets that's coming from Krishna. And as soon as this balance is over, Krishna moves on somewhere else, pastimes goes on. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead has no such difficulty as like we have. And that transcendental nature of Krishna, that's what it makes him the Supreme Personality. So when we go to the sea, we must see as an opulence of Krishna in this world. When we go to Himalayas, we have to see Krishna as the opulence of Himalayas, as the opulence of Krishna. Similarly, anything, wherever, yad dad vibhudimal sattvam, Srimadurjitameva Taptatevavagachatvam Mamatejomsha Sambhavam. Krishna says, wherever you find anything extraordinary, you see that a spark of my splendor there. In that. It is nothing but Krishna who is present in that. It's due to Krishna that it has got that specific the beauty or in its different manifestations. So that's what Krishna is saying there. That Ashwastha Sarva Vrikshanam Devarshinam Cha Narada Gandharvanam Chitraratha Siddhanam Kapilo Muni. Another important one. Ashwastha Sarva Vrikshanam. Among all the trees, Krishna says, I am Ashwattham. Ashwattham means banyan tree. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna gives importance to banyan tree, not to anything else. Krishna has not quoted coconut tree or mango tree or apple tree or any other tree. Whatever we call the trees in this world, no. Krishna has given importance to banyan tree. Why? Ashwattha Sarva Vrikshanam. Among all the trees, Krishna says, I am Ashwattham. The reason is, if you look into the seed of a banyan tree, you will notice the seed is so small. It is so small. Even if you take the small fruit from the banyan tree and cut it, there will be so many seeds inside that one fruit. And that seed has got the capacity to bring this huge banyan tree out of it. Such a huge banyan tree manifests, you will, unbelievable it is, the size of this banyan tree. Some of them are so big, four or five people has to hold their hands like this together to cover once the circumference of the tree. That's how big they are, these banyan trees. And not only that, these banyan trees have been maintained by from ancient times near the temples, you see them. People go and circumambulate these banyan trees. Because why? It's Krishna. Krishna is present in those trees. It says Krishna is one of opulences. Almost all the big temples you will find banyan trees outside. In all places you will find them. So people go and circumambulate banyan trees because it is Krishna's another opulence in this world. Ashwattha sarva vrikshanam. Among all the trees I am Ashwattham. What else? In Bhagavad Gita, later on, I think it is the 13th chapter, Krishna says that then urdhamulamatha shaka ashwattham prahuravyayam, that this world, Krishna says, material nature world is a reflection, isn't it? Urdhamulam atho shaka, its roots are upwards and the branches are downwards. There is a tree, that's a material nature Krishna is talking about. Ashwattham prahuravyayam, it is like a banyan tree which its roots upwards and the branches downwards. That is how Krishna compares to ashwattham in the Bhagavad Gita. So Ashwattham tree or banyan tree, Krishna says, when you see a banyan tree, you should see me there in that banyan tree. Because of its size of the tree, strictly speaking, Ashwattham is not a tree, or banyan tree is not a tree which is useful in any way for our life in this world. For example, the trunk is not useful. It doesn't have that strength. Nor the leaves are not of much useful. Probably goats will eat that. Nobody else can use it. No fruits from that. Nothing. The wood cannot be used even for any other woodwork, furniture or anything like that. But still, Ashwattham has given an important position. And the thing is this, that in all these things, Krishna's presence is the first thing. That is what one should recognize. Such a huge tree, Ashwattham is capable of taking so much of carbon dioxide from the environment, purify it and gives oxygen to us. Is it not? So, tons and tons of oxygen is released by this Ashwattha tree, or banyan tree, by absorbing the carbon dioxide from the environment. And from the scientific point of view, if you look at it, the service what it does to this human society is extraordinary. So, therefore, Ashwattham has been given this importance. Look at this way, when you are standing near a tree, we should see there that the tree is our brother. In the sense that, what we release from our body, the tree absorbs. And what the tree releases, we absorb, isn't it? So in other words, mutually we support. Our existence is dependent on the tree. And tree's existence is dependent on us. That the carbon dioxide, what through the leaves it absorbs, that is released from us, from our body. And the tree is in turn supporting us with oxygen. So in other words, our survival in this world is dependent on these trees. There's no question about that. Imagine a world where there are no trees or plants or anything. What kind of life will that be? But the lack of Krishna consciousness, people think that these living entities are not important. We only need them when we need what we need, when we need them for something, for our pleasure. That's how we, that's a very gross understanding of the Krishna's creation. That's a very gross understanding. The proper understanding is what Bhagavad Gita says, that Ashwatthanam aham sarvavrikshanam, Ashwatham sarvavrikshanam, among all the trees I am Ashwatham. So many places you will find around the Ashwatha tree, among the banyan, around the banyan tree, normally they will build a brickwork around the tree so that people may not destroy the tree and have the opportunity to respect the tree. Devarshinam cha Narada. This is another interesting personality in the opulences. Earlier Krishna says, Bhrigu, among the Maharshis I am Bhrigu. And now Krishna says, among Devarshis I am Srinarada Maharshi. Devarshinam cha Narada. Why did Krishna says, Devarshi, among Devarshis I am Narada? What is the reason? After all, we hear about Narada Muni all the time, isn't it? In different situations we hear about Narada Muni. Narada Muni is there not only in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you take any other Puranam, Sri Narada Maharshi is mentioned there. Whether it is Lord Shiva, Sri Parvati, Sri Narada Maharshi there. Ramachandra and and Lakshmana and all, Sri Narada Maharshi is involved there also. And what to talk about Krishna's different pastimes. And even the other pastimes of many other devatas like Subramanya or Kartikeya and Ganesh. And everywhere you'll find Sri Narada Maharshi present in all that. What is the importance of Sri Narada Maharshi? Devarshi Nancha Narada. Among the Devarshis, Krishna says, I am Sri Narada Maharshi, Sri Narada Maharshi. Among the Maharshis, Krishna says, I am Bhrigu. But among the Devarshis, Krishna says, I am Sri Narada Maharshi. Why did Krishna say this? This is a very important question, because if you understand Sri Narada Maharshi's status in the, in Krishna's, when Krishna has to say to Sri Narada Maharshi, it is me, among the Devarshis, it's Narada Muni, it's me, there must be some special significance attached to that. The significance is this. Then, if you look into the Bhagavatam in the first canto, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam, prior to that, we have the story of Sri Narada Maharshi tells Vedavyas about his childhood, isn't it? About his childhood, when he had been working as a servant in the house of a wealthy Brahmana. The sages came there for Chaturmasyam to perform their austerities and penances. And at that time, householder, Narada Maharshi was only 5 years old at that time. You have to remember that. He was only 5 years old. These four sages came there for Chaturmasyam. For Chaturmasyam. So, when the Chaturmasyam was going on, the householder Brahmana asked Sri Narada Muni, who was not known as Narada at that time. He was a servant boy, or his mother was doing service there, and she was, he didn't even know who his father was. Narada Muni didn't know at that time who his father was. That was his position. No education, nothing, never went to school or anything. Nothing, just playing around and passing his time in that way. That's how he was. But when he met these four sages, the householder Brahmana asked Narada Muni to look after them, isn't it? To look after them when they were there. From there you can see that Narada Maharshi was asked by the householder Brahmana to serve these four sannyasis and to provide. In other words, his job was basically sweeping and cleaning the place and bring water for them for their ablutions and all, and for their, and also whatever they needed. For example, they wanted kushagras or dharba or whatever they need for their spiritual activities, all help Narada Muni had to provide. So the fact that they have appointed Narada Muni to do that shows that they had recognized Narada Muni's capabilities, that he was a capable person even as a 5-year-old boy. He was serious about what he did. He was not irresponsible, in other words. Unless he was responsible, they would not have given that responsibility to him. That is one important thing to notice there. Secondly, due to that association of 4 months, Chaturmasa means 4 months, Sri Narada Maharshi learned from them that seriousness of Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Seriousness of Krishna consciousness. And not only he learned that there are so many things in this first canto, which if you start talking about it, they are so interesting that it's also Vedavyasa has decided that through first canto he will tell us a lot more things than what we originally think about it. When Sri Narada Maharshi was asked to look after the sages, and the sages felt immensely happy about Sri Narada Maharshi's service, they decided to bless him, that let this boy have some attachment, advancement in spiritual life. They thought in their mind, they didn't even tell him, they just thought in their mind, that was enough. So this is to show the power of association with great souls. If they desire something must happen, it will happen. That is how it is. That the sages, 4 sages while leaving, Narada Muni was standing there and crying in their separation. Why? Because when they started the discussion, when they, every day morning, the four sages used to sit together and discuss Krishna consciousness, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, in their way, in their own way, they were talking about it. Sri Narada Maharshi could not understand many things, so he was just tolerant, he was waiting. There may be something which will be of interest to me. And that happened. As soon as it came to Krishna's childhood pastimes, Narada Maharshi got attracted to it. And he got hooked in that. And he says that, I got hooked with that. That ruchi or taste I got from that, listening from them, because they were great souls. When they talked about Krishna's childhood pastimes, they spoke in such a way that this little boy, 5-year-old Narada Maharshi, could understand them. That was the way they spoke that. And naturally, he got attached to Krishna so much by hearing from them that as soon as they finished their Chaturmasyam, the 4 months of penances, and while they were leaving, Narada Muni did not know what to say. He didn't know what to say because he has no control on the situation. After all, who is he there? Just a servant boy. A mother is serving morning to night, just all time service, 24 hours. At the Brahmana's house, and they didn't have any say in anything, to even speak to them properly. They didn't have the freedom because they were the sages were very elevated people, and they were the guests of the householder Brahmana. But the sages did not forget him. That is the most important thing. Narada Muni did not know what to say, didn't know what to ask from them. Nothing. He just took it for, you know, in a casual way that they are leaving, what can be done. But he was thinking in his mind, when they depart from here, I will not hear about Krishna anymore. That desire has started building up inside to know and hear about Krishna. So what happened was, while leaving, they asked the householder Brahmana, there was one boy here who was doing service to us, where is he? They said to him. So the Brahmana said, why they are asking about this Narada, his only job was to do some service now. But still, because they inquired about him, they called Narada and asked Narada, go, and they are asking about you, go and pay your obeisances and get their blessings, he said. He said to Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni went up to them, paid his obeisances. At that time Narada Muni was crying. Tears were coming from his eyes. And that 5-year-old boy who heard about Krishna, and that he had to see them off, the sages who spoke to him about Krishna's pastimes, he wanted to hear more about it. The power of Shravanam, the power of hearing, the power of Krishna's pastimes, all this you can see in this particular incident in the Bhagavatam. So these 4 sages understood what was happening in Narada Muni's heart. They could see what was going on. So they asked Narada Maharshi, do you remember all those stories what we have told you? Narada Maharshi said, yes, I remember. Just remember, sit down and think about all that as and when you find time. And at the same time, chant the holy names of Krishna. In this way, continue in this world, everything will come out okay. They blessed him in this way and they left. The four sannyasis left. After they left, Narada Maharshi was in tremendous agony. Virtually, he was feeling restlessness. Where is Krishna? I want to see him. Where is he? I've heard so much about him. And the sages have told me, this is all due to that sages, the sannyasis who left. It is they who have created this in Narada Maharshi's heart. So, Narada Maharshi inquired about Krishna. Narada Maharshi inquires about Krishna, decided to go to the forest looking for him. And at that time what happened? There was a slight attachment here with the mother, isn't it? Mother was the greatest attachment here. There is nobody else. For mother, the son was the only attachment. And the son, the mother was the only attachment. And this attachment in this world is there for all of us in some form or the other. It exists in us. Through this particular pastime or this particular incident, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us certain things. What is that? That in spiritual life, when one comes to, on one side we have attachment to the material life, what we were going through. And on the other hand, there is also desire to get disconnected from the material world and go into the spiritual life and to engage in Krishna service, really knowing very well the importance of serving Krishna and getting attached to Krishna. That is the goal, and time is also running out at the same time. So when this is happening, what is one situation? So Bhagavatam, through that incident, is telling us that when Krishna decided, or Krishna sensed that Narada Muni is ready for it, for advancing in Krishna consciousness, Krishna took away his mother. Krishna took away his mother. That very evening, when Narada Muni's mother went to milk the cow at the twilight in the evening, a snake has bitten and his mother died. And his mother, Kripana Kala Chodida, Bhagavatam says like that. Kala Chodida. Kala Chodida means Krishna's arrangement, in other words. That's what it means. It says time, but time is whose? What is time? Time is under Krishna's control. Kripana Kala Chodida. In the Bhishma Sudhi also you will find Sarvam Kala Kritam Manye. Kalam does everything. And this Kalam is Krishna. Kalam means time is Krishna. So, whatever it is, this happened that evening. And now, Narada Muni felt relieved from everything. There is no more, no job to go to tomorrow. Don't have to report to anybody. No pay taxes, nothing. All released from all obligations in this world. Look and imagine the freedom what Narada Muni felt. We also want the freedom, but we are not sure whether we want it or not. This is our position. We are not ready. That is why it is. Therefore, the Krishna knows when one is ready for spiritual life and what he is capable of doing, to what extent one is ready for renunciation. And that is when Krishna arranges that, one should move into the next stage. One should take to that. Otherwise, artificially, for the sake of pomp and glory and all that, if one wants to show this world I'm spiritually advanced, and these kind of things, if one acts in that way, then that will cause problems. That will create problems. Here, Krishna says that the Bhagavatam says like this, that the right way is that the way Krishna has arranged it for Narada Muni. And similarly, it's only, not only for Sri Narada Maharshi, Krishna does that. Krishna does it for anyone who comes to him. But only thing is, at the appropriate time, when one is ready for that. That Krishna knows, we don't know. We don't know about that. The example is like this. There is certain creepers. From there you get fruits, pumpkin and all that. There's so many like that. And these pumpkin, if you see when it grows, the plant grows and after certain time it starts flowering. The flowers come out from the plant. Flowers come out from the plant. The flowers will be very big. And at the bottom of the plant, bottom of the flower, you will see the pumpkin, in a very small pumpkin at the bottom of that. After some time, the flowers start getting weakened and the pumpkin start growing bigger and bigger. And at some time, the the pumpkin takes its full shape. By now, the pumpkin flower has completely finished its life and it drops off. Automatically, in a natural way, it drops off. Our life also in this world has to be like that. The flower is our material life. The pumpkin is the spiritual life. In other words, if you allow that to happen in a natural way, that is the right thing to do it. Otherwise, what will happen is, say in the beginning, after seeing the beauty of that flower, the big beautiful flower, and seeing that the pumpkin is only a small thing, and if we think that this pumpkin is the whole problem, and we pick out the pumpkin and throw it out, maybe after some time you'll have this huge flower, but after that time it drops away. But in a natural way, the pumpkin flower drops off, and the pumpkin comes out nicely later. So, from here you can see that in spiritual life also, we work, we have to put our effort in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, the progress and the success also of that is in Krishna's hands. Krishna decides when one is ready. Automatically, the facilities will be provided. The right people to advise will come on to the to give the advice to the people, to the devotees. And in this way, everything will happen in a natural way, as long as the person is sincerely absorbed in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, in surrendering and serving Krishna. So this is the principle what Vedavyasa Maharshi has shown through that particular incident of Sri Narada Maharshi's life as a young boy. When he went to the forest, after he got to the forest, he wanted to see Krishna, isn't it? Ahodi ivame shikram darshanam yati chetasi. Bhagavatam says like that in the first canto. Ahodi ivame shikram darshanam yati chetasi. That Narada Maharshi was crying to see Krishna, and when Krishna appeared in front of him, he was in bliss. He was in total bliss. Friend of him means he appeared within the heart. And that is what he says. Aho nivame shikram darshanam yadi chetasi. From there, Krishna gave the benediction to him. As and when he wants, chant my holy name and wander around in this world freely. And when you leave this body, you can come back to me in your next life. That was what Krishna told him at that time. Now, if you hear all these stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you may think that is it because of this Krishna says, I am Narada Maharshi? Devarshi naam cha Narada. That I am Narada Maharshi, Krishna says. Is it because of all these things? No, it is not. None of these is the reason why Sri Narada Maharshi was given this special position by Krishna. There is another reason to it. After long time, when Sri Narada Maharshi got his new position as Narada Muni, with Veena in the hand, and started traveling, preaching the holy name of Krishna throughout the universe and everywhere, Sri Narada Maharshi came to Himalayas, when Vedavyasa Maharshi was present there in his unhappy situation. We discussed this in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, how Vedavyas felt very unhappy, the cause of his unhappiness, if we remember. After writing Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi felt a little proud himself. He felt a little pride in himself. That to compile Mahabharatam, the greatest of all the itihasas, 125,000 verses, and Vedavyasa also felt, because Vedavyasa's desire was to serve this world, there was not the least desire for selfish reasons that he wrote Mahabharatam. Purpose of Mahabharatam was to serve this world so that he can guide the people in the right direction. That was Vedavyasa Maharshi's intention was. If you know Vedavyasa Maharshi's previous early life, you'll be amazed to see how much distress he has gone through in life. First of all, his birth was in the middle of the river. If you remember, when his father Parashara Maharshi was crossing the river, he felt the desire to have a son from Satyavati, who was taking him in the boat, rowing the boat to the other side of the river, Yamuna River. And that is why in the middle of the river, out of Parashara Maharshi and Satyavati Devi, Vedavyasa was born. Because of this relationship, mother was a fisherwoman and father was a great sage. So when Vedavyasa came out to the world, the Brahmanas of those days rejected him. They insulted him. And his appearance was also not of a very highly attractive form at that time. His bodily features were not very attractive. All these things have upset Vedavyas, you have to remember. And he decided to move on further and went to the Himalayas for meditation and penances. Remember, Vedavyas is an incarnation of Krishna, literary incarnation as he is referred to. He is incarnation of Krishna. And this Vedavyasa Maharshi was subjected to these kind of problems. All great personalities go through this in this world. Moment you come to this world, you have to face the music. There is no escape from that. No matter who it is, whether it is Lord Ramachandra or even Krishna, they will say something. World will say something about them. That, and that is the nature of this world. So Vedavyasa was also affected by that. Affected in the sense they also he also had to face the same thing. So this Vedavyasa Maharshi. So this Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he was in the Himalayas, in Vedavyasa Maharshi's ashram, that was when Srinarada Maharshi comes there to see him. Srinarada Maharshi comes there to see him. By now, he has written down, he has compiled this Mahabharatam, and he was feeling some satisfaction from that. Some satisfaction was there from that. Why? Because through Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi has presented four important things. What are they? Dharmam, Artham, Kamam and Moksham. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. These are the four things Vedavyasa Maharshi has covered in Mahabharatam. If you see Mahabharatam, you will see there. These four things are stressed. Why is it stressed in these four things? Because Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, through the story of the Pandavas and the Kauravas, he brought out this point that if you follow dharmam, that means religious principles, naturally your economic development will be good. You will have good economic development. If you have good economic development, you will have good kamam, sense gratification also, and eventually liberation from the material life. So this is how it is structured in the Mahabharatam. Vedavyasa Maharshi has put it like that in the Mahabharatam. But what happened was, although Vedavyasa Maharshi presented it like this, out of these four, people thought the first one and the last one are not interesting. They don't want the dharmam, they don't want the moksham either. The two attractive ones was artham and kamam. Economic development and sense gratification. They were the two attractions for them. It is today also, it's not different. It was then. In fact, it's more now than before. But you can see how human mind works in these things. These great personalities, they write all these books and gives it to us. Study it and understand. And they want to guide us through that. But we pick and choose from that what we want from that. So how clever we are. So economic development and sense gratification, two things alone, people wanted most of the, out of all the four. Then they also misunderstood Mahabharatam in other way. How did they misunderstand? If you look at Mahabharatam, you will find the story says that Pandavas followed dharmam and therefore they got all the material opulences. They lived happily ever after and they got all the material opulences. And Duryodhana and others, the Kauravas, they never had any dharmam with them. They were very adharmic, in other words, irreligious. The result was that they lost everything. And eventually in the battle also, in the war, Krishna helped the Pandavas because they had dharmam and Kauravas were rejected and therefore they lost the war also. So materialistic people thought, materialist people have this way of analyzing things. They started saying, you see, they used dharmam because of dharmam only they could get all this wealth. You see the point there. That they followed dharmam, they were, our people are saying this, Pandavas because they followed dharmam, they got artham. Because they followed dharmam, they got kamam. Duryodhana did not have any dharmam, so he did not have any artham. Eventually he lost everything, what he had. Isn't it? After the battle, after the war, everything, Pandavas got the whole kingdom, everything. In this way, the whole thing got misunderstood by the human population. So, Vedavyasa is feeling very badly about it, because there was some inside, somebody was telling him. All the great sages have this great feature. When they have a crisis, they know whom to go to. They will consult inside. Let Krishna tell me what have I done wrong. I wrote Mahabharatam for the sake of the, for the Sri Shudra Adivirapyuda. That for the ordinary people I have written this. And they have still not understood. Why they are not able to understand the message, what I have given to them. On the other hand, he realized that they were experts in changing the message to suit their taste. and how they could change everything the way they wanted, isn't it? So, this is what has happened. So, Vedavyas was in a thoughtful mood, analyzing this, what was going on in this situation, and he was not able to find an answer to this problem. At the same time, there was another thought building up inside. Inside, Krishna was speaking to him. What was he saying to him? Kimva bhagavada dharma talprayena nirubida priya paramahamsanam tadaiva hachula priyaha. Bhagavadam says like this. Why did you not speak about Bhagavata Dharmam or Krishna consciousness about me in the Mahabharatam? Because the goal of all these things, what is the goal of life? The goal of life, is this to perform dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham? Is this the goal or is there something higher than that? So that goal was known to Vedavyas. Vedavyas knew that goal. Kimva bhagavada dharma tatprayena nirupidaha. That you did not give importance to that point, which is to bring the people closer to me. That means Supreme Personality, Krishna. Why Vedavyasa Maharshi has not? All right, throughout Mahabharatam you will find Krishna is the Supreme Personality throughout Mahabharatam. But there is no reference to teach people how to come to Krishna, how to approach Krishna, how to realize Krishna. And process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness in other words, is not explained in the Mahabharatam enough. Among with so many other dharmam, moksha dharmam, raja dharmam, and sri dharmam, purusha dharmam, so many dharmam was discussed in the Mahabharatam. Along with that, to some extent, Bhagavad dharmam is also spoken there. Is that enough? This was what was the question Krishna has given to Vedavyasa Maharshi. So Vedavyas was doubtful about all these things in his mind. Imagine how kind Vedavyas Maharshi is. He knows our position where we are and he is trying to slowly take us up to the right place. He also knows our weaknesses, our condition of mind, how we are like. How much, first of all, no desire for spiritual life. Secondly, if any desire comes, that's for material benefits. That spiritual life is for material benefits. Thirdly, the knowledge about, like in the Bhagavatam in the beginning, what did it say? Prayana, four things Vedavyasa said, isn't it? What did he say about us? Prayana alpayusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumanna madayo mandabhagya hibadrudaha. Alpayusham means a short span of life. Vedavyasa is looking at us and telling alpayus. Alpayus means 60, 70 years, out of that maybe 10, 20 years if one has time for Krishna consciousness. But rest of the time is all busy. Then, prayana alpayusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha. Then, mandaha. Everything, no rush. What's the urgency? That's what we are. Isn't it? Bhagavadam, we say to somebody today, take Shrimad Bhagavadam, oh, after retirement. Before that, no time for Bhagavadam. Before that, I have to get my all the commitments to the world, to the society, family, this, that and the other. Mandaha. That is why it's called mandam, mandam, mandam. Slowly, slowly, everything can be done. At the right time, let it come. After, say, 60 or 88, like Ajamala, as we say, that time we'll see. We'll see, that also not sure. Mandaha. Then, secondly, sumandamadayom. Sumandamadayom means, even if you present spiritual knowledge to them, they will not grasp it. They will not grasp it. Because then still they will ask all questions. They're still doubting, is there a thing called soul in the body? Because on the other side, there is a propaganda going on that, oh, life didn't come from life. Life was just developed like that from the matter. When the material elements are joined together, the life developed like that. Where is the proof? They'll ask. So Vedavyasa is aware of all our limitations, our problems. So he put these four things in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself. You can see, prayana alpayusha sabhya alpayusam, low, very small span of life, a small span of life, 60, 70 years. Mandaha, very slow in learning things, or not in a rush for anything. Sumandamadaya, very limited, very poor intelligence, in other words. Not able to understand the message of the Shastram. And then above all, he says, Mandabhagya Hyubadrudaha. Mandabhagya, very unfortunate they are, he says. They are very unfortunate people, because why? No austerity, no capable of doing any austerities or penances, and will argue for all silly things in this world. They'll fight each other, and they'll try to dominate themselves in this world, unable to realize that they'll be kicked out from here any time. So Vedavyasa is seeing everything from a different angle, and seeing compassion for us, our helpless situation. What can you do with a bunch like this, what he has got in this world? So Vedavyasa thought, let me first bring them to some dharmam. And therefore, through dharmam, artham, kamam, he bring them to moksham, to liberation. So he wrote Mahabharatam like this, in that way, and presented to us. But even when we got it, still we don't find it very, not able to take it seriously. Again, questions coming. So it was in all this, these are things which are disturbing Vedavyasa Maharshi's mind, because he has spent his lifetime in writing all these things for our benefit. That was the purpose of his coming to this world, to lead the human society in the right direction. So therefore he did all this. And only he knew how much he was unhappy inside, unable to find the result what he wanted. Not that he wanted the result, like a karma yogi, he also had the detached mood in his actions, but at the same time the purpose was not served. That was disturbing him. So in all these thoughts were going through his mind, it was then that Sri Narada Maharshi walked in there, isn't it? Sri Narada Maharshi walked in there. In the Bhagavatam you know these things from Vedavyasa Maharshi's mood at that time. And at that time Sri Narada Maharshi comes to him. And that fifth chapter of the first canto, if you read, it is a discussion between Sri Narada Maharshi and Vedavyasa Maharshi. Sri Narada Maharshi and Vedavyasa Maharshi. So in that discussion, if you carefully observe, you will see there the way Narada Maharshi changed Vedavyas through that conversation, how he changed them. It is something which you can't understand, probably not recognize very easily. Like, you know those people who do the martial arts? When they do the martial arts, sometimes you will see the person who is expert, he has the training how to deal with the opponent. What does he do sometimes? He will lift from the cheek of the person, lift up and smack him on his cheek with the right hand. With the left hand he will lift the whole person up and bring him to his level and cheek and beat him on his cheek on the right hand. It's exactly like that what Narada Muni did to Vedavyasa, not physically but through the words. What he has used there. The fifth chapter, if you read, you will notice all these things. The aggressive way how Vedavyasa was corrected by Sri Narada Maharshi at that time. Sri Narada Maharshi was very heavy on Vedavyasa. Why? Because Vedavyasa, although he had this little ego inside, I wrote Mahabharatam. That little ego was inside. And therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi thought, because of that, Vedavyasa did not glorify Krishna enough in the Mahabharatam. He should write a separate literature to glorify Krishna. Just like when you have a very huge, heavy rock, and if you want to blast it, you put the dynamite inside and set fire and blast the whole rock. That's what Narada Maharshi did to Vedavyasa at that time. You blasted him to such a level that you made him understand that what he has done is not correct. Without glorifying Krishna, where is the question of spiritual life? This was the question. And in order to impress this on Vedavyasa, Narada Maharshi told Vedavyasa, everything else in the Shastram was spoken by the sages. All the great sages like Vasishtha, Bhrigu, Vishwamitra and so many other great personalities, they have spoken. Through them, the Dharma was given to this world. All the Upanishads have come through the sages. Is it not? All the Upanishads have come through the sages to us. So for all other Vedic literature, Krishna has chosen great sages to through them Krishna has presented them to this world. But Krishna consciousness, Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna did it himself. He didn't select anybody else. Others were given who had the knowledge of it. They were made some authorities on that. But it was spoken by Krishna himself. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasya Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are the core literature of Krishna consciousness, that has come from Krishna directly from his lotus face. It didn't come from anywhere else. That is why Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasham is the highest transcendental knowledge, because it has come from Krishna's lips directly to this world. So you can understand, all the Upanishads, all the other Puranas, they were all spoken by others. But these two, Krishna decided to speak himself. That makes it much more authentic, and also the importance of it. One can easily understand. Narada Maharshi said to Vedavyas, did you not think about this? Did you not realize this important? You have stuck Bhagavad Gita in the middle of Mahabharatam. In the middle of Mahabharatam, he has put Bhagavad Gita there. That's fine. In other words, people who read Mahabharatam will think Bhagavad Gita is also like Mahabharatam, any other chapter, another chapter there. Was that proper? This was the question from Narada Maharshi to Vedavyas. So, through that conversation, Sri Narada Maharshi completely stripped the whole ego of Vedavyas and brought him down and made him realize what is the importance of Krishna consciousness. And it is because of this incident what happened, that how Sri Narada Maharshi brought Srimad Bhagavatam to this world, because it's Sri Narada Maharshi who ultimately brought Bhagavatam to this world after hearing from Lord Brahma, and who valued Bhagavatam, and who understands Srimad Bhagavatam, and instructed Vedavyas. Krishna says, Devarshi Nancha Narada. Among the Devarshis, among the sages, among the Devarshis, I am Sri Narada Maharshi. That was the reason for calling Narada Maharshi here. There is no other reason. All other things, like as I mentioned before, Narada Maharshi's childhood in the with the sage sannyasis in the Chaturmasyam, later on going to the forest, seeing Krishna there and praying Ahudiyahameshikram Darshanam Yadichetasi, that he prayed to Krishna that whenever I want to see him, Krishna says, just chant my holy name, I'll be there. All these, he has succeeded in doing all that. But that was not the reason why Krishna says, Devarshi Nancha Narada. It is this, bringing Srimad Bhagavatam to this world, through Vedavyas to this world, that was Srinarada Maharshi's greatest achievement. In other words, Srinarada Maharshi has been, Krishna has given this greatness to Srinarada Maharshi for this reason, of the bringing Bhagavatam to this world. Ashwattham Sarva Vrikshanam Devarshi Nancha Narada Gandharvanam Chitraratha Siddhanam Kapilo Muni. Among the Gandharvas, Krishna says, I am Chitraratha. Among the Siddhas, I am Kapila Maharshi. Why Kapila Maharshi? Siddha means one who has performed sadhana and he has become Siddha, perfect in that. That is Siddha. So, Kapila Maharshi in the third canto of Bhagavatam, you will find there that Kapila Vasudev, who instructed Devahuti Devi about the Sankhya philosophy, that is the Kapila Maharshi which is referred to here. That Kapila Vasudev, he is referred to here. Because it is the same transcendental knowledge, what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava is not different than what Kapila Vasudev spoke to Devahuti Devi. Only thing is the time span. Krishna's to Uddhava happened much later, but Kapila Vasudev to Devahuti Devi happened much earlier. And in that third canto, which is known as Kapilam, you will find a beautiful analysis of the transmigration of the soul from one body to another, or what happens during that process. How the soul leaves the body, how it accepts another body, where all it visits during, the soul moves into different places during that process. So many, and also hellish planets, all these discussions are there in the third canto. What happens to the, in other words, a living entity needs knowledge when he is in this world. Without knowledge it cannot function. And that knowledge needed for its advancement in spiritual life, that is there in the Kapilam. Kapila Vasudev's, that instructions to Devahuti. What happens within the womb for 10 months, how the living entity enters into the body of the mother and grows within the womb of the mother, and what happens at every month in that process, and eventually how he comes out from inside the womb of the mother, and what happens to him throughout life. All these things are discussed so nicely. And if you analyze Kapilam, it's a topic what requires detailed discussion. And Kapilam says there, what will happen to your person when he has understood this, how he will take to Krishna consciousness seriously. Therefore, Krishna says here, Siddhanam Kapilo Muni, I am Kapila Maharshi, he says, Uchaishravasvamashvanam Siddhimam Amrutolbhavam Airavatam Gajendranam Naranam Cha Naradhipam. When the ocean of milk was churned, from there a horse came up, which was called as Uchaishravas, which was given to Indra. Indra took that, demigods took that. And Krishna says, I am that horse Uchaishravas. Vidhimam Amrutolbhavam Airavatam Gajendranam Naranam Cha Naradhipam. And among the elephants which came out, the nectar came out from there. Similarly, among the elephants, I am Airavatam. Airavatam is the elephant also who came from the ocean, from the churning, the milk ocean. Narananja Naradhipam, among the men, I am the king, Krishna says. So, king's position from the Shastric point of view is that he is representative of Krishna in this world.
Ayudhanam aham vajram, venunam asmi kamadhuk, prajanaschasmi gandharpa, sarpanam asmi vasugi.
So, again, continuing the different vibhudis, opulence, as Krishna says, Ayudhanam aham vajram, among the weapons I am thunderbolt, Krishna says, also powerful.
Venunam asmi kamadhuk,
among the cows I am Kamadeva, I am Kamadhenu. Krishna says, I am Kamadhenu. Why Kamadhenu? This is also important. All these things, if you tie in with the Bhagavadam, you will know why they are important. Why Krishna says, I am Kamadhenu. It is through this Kamadhenu, Krishna got the name as Govinda. Isn't it? If you remember, at the Govardhana Uddharanam, or Govardhana, lifting the Govardhana hill, that pastime, what happened to Krishna? Krishna lifted the Govardhana hill. That whole pastime is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There, Krishna had to, once it so happened that Nanda Maharaj wanted to perform a sacrifice, and Krishna blocked the sacrifice. What purpose this sacrifice is made for? Nanda Maharaj said to Krishna that annually, every year they worshipped Govardhanam, and that was the goal behind it. Krishna says to Nanda Maharaj, there was no need to perform any worship of Govardhana Hill. Any worship of Govardhana Hill, and he stopped that. And when Govardhana was worshipped, on request from Krishna, that whole pastime you have to go through in the Bhagavadam, you will notice that what a beautiful pastime it was. And when it was over, and Indra learned the lesson, you know this pastime very well, because it's such an important pastime of Krishna, that when Indra was subdued, Indra came to see Krishna in Vrindavanam. Indra came to see Krishna in Vrindavanam. So when he came to see Krishna, he was a little bit confused how to approach Krishna. Indra, because of his rajoguna, the pride was in him, I am still Indra. So he has dressed up fully like Indra and has come to see Krishna, who is a cowherd boy in the forest. And Krishna's mood was, do you have to wear all these things when you come to see me here? This was Krishna's mood at that time. And now Indra, his arrogance was such that even if I am seeing Krishna, at least he should know who I am, isn't it? This is what Krishna and Indra's mood is, and Krishna's mood was the other way. Anyway, Indra comes in and won't go directly to see Krishna straight away. He has committed the offense. He knows what has happened, what has gone wrong now. And Martim Krishna Ubashratya, he says, Indra used to say, Krishna may be anybody in the spiritual world, but when he comes to this world and takes a human body, nature, human form, he is a Martya. That means he is below us. We are devas, higher than him. The same mood, and Indra was proud of that. So because he is a Martya, a human form, he should accept our service, not that we accept his service. This was his point. So now that's been reversed. Krishna says, whether there or here, I am the same person, not much different. So Indra was put into difficulty, as you know. 7 days Krishna lifted the golden hill, and then eventually Indra tried to flood the whole, gave a lot of pain to all the cows and the cowherd boys and the gopis. They were all put into a lot of distress by Indra. If you give distress to Krishna's devotees,
no matter who it is, that distress will follow you later in some form. It will come back. Bhagavatam is very clear on this point. That is why not only devotees to give distress to another living entity, that is where you will see Krishna's true nature. Because we lack that realization, we try to manipulate people, we try to maneuver things, and we don't, not being considerate to others. In every possible way, we'll try to push our way through. And sometimes Krishna says that will misfire. It will come back to you. And this is various examples in the Bhagavatam to prove this point. In the first canto itself, when Draupadi's children were killed in the barracks or the Shibiram, what it's called, after the end of Mahabharata war, Krishna told Arjuna and the Pandavas, let's go and stay somewhere else today, because the war is now over, everything is finished, and we have won the war, now all the Kauravas are destroyed, now there is nothing to think about, we'll go to the river bank and we'll bathe and eat well and rest well. All these things were Krishna's arrangement. Krishna organized all these things that day. Krishna himself took all the Pandavas away from the battlefield. The war was over, so there was no need for them to stay. In that process, the five children of Draupadi, the Pandavas' children, they were left behind in the barracks. They were staying there that night. Krishna knew this, that they were staying there. And while going also, Krishna was aware that the boys are going to be killed by Ashwatthama. Isn't it? All that thing happened, as you know, in the first canto you can read. From Mahabharatam, we go back into Mahabharatam in the Bhagavatam at that time and bring forward this interesting incident there. What happened? So, this Ashwatthama, what did he do? Ashwatthama realized that this is the greatest opportunity to crush the Pandavas. The greatest opportunity to crush the Pandavas and to please Duryodhana. Because they lost the battle anyway. So at least let me take revenge, he thought. Let me take revenge to please Duryodhana. So what did Ashwatthama do? Ashwatthama walked into the shibir or these barracks and at the night killed all the five of them. All five, slaughtered all the five children of Draupadi. All the five children of Draupadi were killed. So, when this happened, Krishna was with the Pandavas on the river bank. Next day, the news arrived, the message arrived that Ashwatthama has got into the barracks and killed all Draupadi's children. Draupadi's sorrow, Draupadi's distress, you can imagine. All her five children were killed like this, and Draupadi got into a serious mood when she demanded that whoever has killed my children, he should be killed straight away. Seeing this mood of Draupadi, Arjuna decided to go and find out who has killed. They came to know that it was Ashwatthama who has done it. So they were going after Ashwatthama. And Arjuna asked Krishna if he could accompany him. And Krishna knew very well, if Arjuna had gone alone, nothing would have happened. With Ashwatthama, it would have been very difficult. Because who is Ashwatthama? Ashwatthama was Dronacharya's son. And all what Arjuna knew about archery, and about the technology of war fighting was known to Ashwatthama as well. And if a war happens between Ashwatthama and Arjuna, probably that could be a great disaster. Knowing very well all these things, Krishna said, alright, I have done it for 18 days now, this driving the chariot. There is no problem doing another day, he says. It's not a big problem. So Krishna started driving the chariot for Arjuna again. Arjuna is sitting in the chariot and thinking how to deal with Ashwatthama. So they have gone to see Ashwatthama, they saw Ashwatthama later on. As soon as Ashwatthama saw them coming, they realized that Arjuna wants to get him and to get his head, that he was known to him. He was expecting that also.
that because the thing what he has done was such a horrible act. So Ashwatthama was preparing himself for that, and as soon as Arjuna got closer, Arjuna decided to kill Ashwatthama. But Krishna says, tie him down, and there's no need to kill him now, bring him over, we'll take him. And first, as soon as Ashwatthama realized that Arjuna is coming, he released Brahmastram. Brahmastram was the final word on the weaponry, or the astrams among the different astrams he knows, which means it will destroy the whole creation, that kind of weapon it was. So when Ashwatthama released Brahmastram, Arjuna released also Brahmastram to counteract the Brahmastram released by Ashwatthama. Arjuna and what would have happened was, if these two Brahmastrams have started fighting each other, whole creation would have gone, would have finished. There would have been nothing left after that. So, sensing all this very well, Ashwatthama didn't know how to pull the Brahmastram back. So, at that time, Krishna says to Arjuna, Dronacharya has taught you how to pull both the astrams together, has he not? So, do that and bring both your Brahmastram and Ashwatthama's Brahmastram together and bring them back, he said. Krishna says to Arjuna, and Arjuna did that. At that time, Ashwatthama realized there is nothing more he can do. Arjuna got down and tied his hands and brought him like the police bring the criminal, in the same way, pulled him in the chariot, brought him in front of Draupadi. So when they brought Ashwatthama in front of Draupadi, at that time there was a discussion what we should do with Ashwatthama. That was the main question. What we should do with Ashwatthama? Bhima was sitting there, Yudhishthira Maharaj was there, Arjuna was there, and the Draupadi was there. They were all, and Krishna was also there. So straight away Bhima came out and said that, let's kill him first. I'll smash his head first. Bhima's reaction. Draupadi became a little bit more thoughtful, and Draupadi says, how can you kill him? Janmana Brahmano Guru, Bhagavatam says that. After all, who is Ashwatthama? Ashwatthama is the son of Dronacharya, who was a Brahmana. And not only that, he was his teacher. So Guru's son. How can you kill him? Number one. Number two, Draupadi's point was, earlier Draupadi said that I want to make sure that Ashwatthama, whoever has done it, should be killed and his head should be brought here. And Arjuna has taken the vow that I will kill Ashwatthama, bring his head and use it as the seat, like this, I'll sit on top of it and perform the final ceremony for those of the children of Draupadi who died. That is the vow Arjuna has taken. So he needed Ashwatthama's head. And now Draupadi is saying, no, we won't take his head. After all, who is Ashwatthama? Draupadi started speaking like this. Bhima wouldn't have any of that. He said, I don't want to listen to all this nonsense, he said. He took his club and started moving. That time, nobody could stop Bhima. Nobody could stop Bhima. Bhima was so powerful person. Only a few days ago, he has smashed Duryodhana's thighs and he was lying there in the battlefield, ready to leave the body. So everybody knows Bhima's strength and Bhima's power when he says something and does something. If he hits you, you know what kind of hit that will be. So Bhima was there, and Krishna realized this, that Bhima is not going to listen to him either. Krishna realized that. So what did Krishna do? Krishna put his hand on the shoulder of Bhima and told him to wait. Don't rush into it. When the hand fell on the shoulder of Bhima, Bhima fell, it was something like a Govardhan hill on the shoulder. That was the weight of that hand on the shoulder of Bhima. At that time, Bhima waited. Bhima couldn't move further an inch, although he was ready to smash Ashwatthama's head. Krishna said, wait for a minute. And then asked Draupadi what she has got to say. She says, Muchyadam, Muchyadam. Muchyadam, Muchyadam. Release him, release him. Don't tie him down. After all, Draupadi's heart has a change. What is this message coming to us from this? The message is this, that Ashwathama has shown that revengeful nature in him, isn't it? That revenge in him, to take revenge again. And he will notice this revenge coming from Ashwathama once again later. If you remember, after Ashwathama was released, what did Ashwathama do next thing? Next thing is, he released Brahmastram again towards the Pandavas. His intention was, although Draupadi's children were killed, and the Pandavas will die in due course, is there anyone left in that family still in this world? He realized that Uttara was pregnant. And from Uttara, Parikshit Maharaj was going to take birth. Uttara was pregnant with Parikshit. So, there should be none left in the race of the Pandavas. This was the decision by Ashwathama. So, after all this, Ashwathama still decided to release another Brahmastram to kill Parikshit. Isn't it? The Bhagavatam we can read. Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade nanyam tvadhavayam pashyel yatra mrityu parasparam. Bhagavatam says about that prayers from Uttaradevi at that point. Uttaradevi at that point. So, what happened at that instance was that the Ashwathama released the second Brahmastram to kill Parikshit, and then Krishna entered into the womb of Uttaradevi and protected Parikshit there also. So, you can see from this, Krishna has been preparing to present Bhagavatam to this world many, many years before even when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. Krishna decided that through Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam should come to this world. And Parikshit should live in this world at any cost. So he decided to protect Parikshit within the womb of Uttaradevi. And therefore he entered in. It is only for that reason Krishna entered into Parikshit, into Uttaradevi's womb, to make sure that Parikshit comes out properly and that he will rule this planet, and at the end he will hear Srimad Bhagavatam and he will go back to the spiritual world. All these decisions have already been taken by Krishna much before it has happened. This is Krishna. What do we know about Krishna? Decisions are made. And Krishna makes decisions not the way we make decisions. When we make decisions, it has no meaning actually. Because sometimes it happens, sometimes the whole thing misfires. Isn't it? But Krishna's decision is not like that. That is why in that verse you will see clearly, Kimva Bhagavadam Dhammam Tat Prayena Nirubhida Tadha Paramaham Priya Paramaham Sanam Tadaiva Achyuta Priyaham. For Krishna, what is important is, he does not make the decision. That is the most interesting thing. Krishna doesn't make the decision. What Krishna does is, he consults the great devotees. Paramahamsas they are called. You can see in the verse it says very clearly there, Priya Paramahamsanam. What is dear to Paramahamsas, great devotees, that is dear to Krishna also. What is not dear to them is not dear to Krishna. In other words, when Krishna wants to decide something, he consults. Consults whom? Consults the great devotees like Narada Maharshi, Uddhava, and so many other great, great personalities. What if they like it? Krishna says, if you say that it is okay, it's okay with me. If it's not okay with you, it's not okay with me either. So that is Krishna's position in these things. Krishna never imposes anything. What is liked by great devotees, Paramahamsas, that is why this is called Paramahamsa Dharmam. Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Paramahamsa Dharma. Paramahamsa's realization, or Paramahamsa's liking, that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is. And therefore Krishna upholds the principles in that way. Otherwise for Krishna, whether we do this or that, it doesn't matter anything. But what ultimately what Krishna likes is what Paramahamsas likes. Krishna is above everything, but his liking is what the devotees likes. So that's why the importance of devotees. Kimva Bhagavata Dharmam Talpayena Nirupita Tadha Paramaham Priya Paramaham Sanam Tadaiva Achyuta Priyaham. Achyuta Priya, it is dear to Achyuta. What is Priya? Priya Paramaham Sanam. What is dear to Paramahamsas is Priya to Achyuta also, for Krishna also. So that's what it is saying in the Bhagavatam. So here, what has happened is that the this particular incident, what we were talking about, that Ashwathama went away and released the second Brahmastram to kill Parikshit in the womb, and Krishna decided to protect him. Krishna decided to protect Ashwathama. So, there we have two personalities. Ashwathama, unable to give up that revengeful mood. Revenge, revenge, revenge. Moving after that, Ashwathama. Draupadi, classical example of forgiveness. In spite of the fact that her own children, 5 children were killed, she was able to say this, that, Muchyadam, Muchyadam, release him, release him. After all, he is the son of our spiritual, of our teacher, Dronacharya, he is a Brahmana, let him not be killed. Where did this greatness come to Draupadi? How did, this is why Draupadi is dear to Krishna. That Draupadi is this greatness in Draupadi, that great heart to be forgiving to others, that is what Krishna likes. And that is why Krishna supported Draupadi all the way through, all the way through. Although incidents like this has happened about her children being killed, at all times Draupadi was protected by Krishna. And Krishna's nature while supporting Draupadi was always, even before the trouble comes, Krishna will go before the trouble and help her. That is how Krishna was with Draupadi. If you remember, Duryodhana sent Durvasa Maharshi to curse the Pandavas. So Durvasa Maharshi comes with all his entourage, and they come asking for sannyasi, isn't it? A great sage also has to be invited for bhiksha, that to be given prasadam, and to be properly respected. So when they came, already they have eaten. Pandavas were in the forest. They had nothing left with them to offer. Everything was, and it was a huge army of disciples with him. They all come together. So Krishna knew this was going to happen, that this was the intention of coming, Durvasa of coming. So in advance, Krishna goes to Draupadi and asks for Akshayavatram, the pot where Draupadi had received from the sun god, and took the whatever little that was left there, the spinach and whatever Krishna took at that time, and told Draupadi there is nothing to worry about it. Durvasa Maharshi went to bathe in the river. Before taking the bhiksha or receiving prasadam, they had to bathe in the river. When they all bathed in the river, by the time they come out, they all felt fully satisfied inside. They all had totally satisfied, as though they had a big feast by then. So there was no anxiety in Draupadi's mind. Why? Krishna has taken care of her even before the incident happened. Throughout Draupadi's life in Mahabharatam, you will notice, prior to any problem, any distress comes to Draupadi, Krishna comes in advance and provide all the protection for her. Even while Dushasana tried to disrobe Draupadi, Krishna came there in the form of that sari and took that role and to protect Draupadi from there. So at no instance, why? Because Krishna saw in Draupadi this great quality of forgiving people. Even though that revengeful nature of Ashwathama has caused so much problems, in spite of that, Draupadi was able to forgive Ashwathama. This is in the first canto. And you will not find anywhere Krishna getting angry anywhere. In any of the Mahabharatam also you will notice that, or through in Bhagavatam you will find, even while dealing with Kamsa or Shishuvala, Krishna was very cool about it. He never got upset about it. He was very relaxed about it. And he acted in a very relaxed mood. But this one personality, Ashwathama, you will find Krishna has lost a little bit of that anger Krishna has expressed there. That Ashwathama's action has caused so much distress among the Pandavas. And Krishna decided that Ashwathama should be taken properly, care of properly. And that's why when he spoke to Arjuna at that time, that saying to Arjuna that in the Bhagavatam we have discussed this all in the first canto. If you look at that, you will see there that how the whole wordings in that different verses in the first canto, how Vedavyasa has chosen them. If you hear in that particular verse, it says, the first line will say, when Arjuna was hearing from Krishna, Arjuna was feeling that how important it is to punish Ashwathama. That is how the words are spoken. Whereas as soon as you hear the second line of that verse, you will see that Ashwathama should be released without any punishment. That's how that verse was spoken. And anyone who reads that verse Mattapramatam unmattam suptam balam sriyam jadam. That goes like that, that verse. So it looks like that Krishna wanted Arjuna to make that decision, what we should do with Ashwathama. Nobody else knew what punishment should be given to Ashwathama. So therefore Krishna wanted that Arjuna should make that decision, and Arjuna understood what Krishna wanted. Arjuna understood what Krishna wanted, and then everything else, rest of it, you can read in the first canto. So what the important thing here is that Krishna says here that Ayudha Uchai Shravasvamashwanam Vidhimama Mrudolbhavam Airavatam Gajendranam Naranam Cha Naradhivam Ayudhanam Aham Vajram Denunam Asmi Kamadhuk. So we have come to talk about this because Denunam Asmi Kamadhuk. That's why we are talking about. So here Indra also has come to the same mistake what he has committed. The mistake he has committed. And Krishna was not in a forgiving mood at that time to Indra. So Indra decided, ultimately realized that Krishna is not going to... if you read in the Bhagavatam, it is much more interesting how it's all spoken. Krishna says to Indra, was glorifying Krishna and asking forgiveness. So the whole many verses Indra spoke there, and at the end Indra was asking for forgiveness. Krishna won't even look into that direction. He won't even look into that direction. He can just said, you can go now. I had heard enough of it. That was Krishna's mood. So Indra goes back and then thinks, understood that Krishna is not happy with him. So what did he do? He says and tells this Kamadhenu that you go and please him, because Krishna is fond of the cows and you are the mother of the cows, Kamadhenu. Telling her that you go and please Krishna. Kamadhenu says, why should I? You go and do all this nonsense and then you expect me to go and please. Is this my job? He says. Indra started pleading with her, that unless you go and do something and make a compromise on my behalf, things are going to be difficult. I may lose my position even. This Swargalokam will go from me. More or less he has got that impression. So Kamadhenu comes here. And as soon as she arrived, she says to Krishna that we had one Indra before. And this Indra, the problem with him is that he is not very kind to anybody. Look at the way he has disturbed my people, because all the cows were and calves were protected by Krishna, isn't it? Under the Govardhana Hill. So many days they were here and they were protected by you. What did he do? He has actually given me pain by flooding the whole place with the heavy thunder showers, everything. What happened? So, I do not want him anymore as my boss. I don't need him anymore, he says. Krishna says to Kamadhenu, alright, if it is the case, leave him alone. Let him stay where he is. But he will have no responsibility for you anymore. The boss has changed now. Krishna took over that, and therefore Krishna was given the name as Govinda. The Indra of the cows. In other words, the Govinda name Krishna relieved from God from that day. Four things: Ganga, Gita, Gayatri and Govinda. The four Ga, they are the one which liberates a person from this world. Ganga, Gita, Gayatri and Govinda. So they have been given importance for this reason. Krishna's name Govinda is a very powerful holy name of Krishna. And that's why it's chanted often, the name of Krishna in relationship with the Govardhanam, lifting of Govardhanam. So there what happened was, at that time, Kamadhenu was given this special because she came and pleased Krishna by offering her own milk. She brought Krishna on top of a rock and started showering her own milk on Krishna and performed an abhishek ceremony on Krishna on that day. And that pleased Krishna very much. That pleased, this action of Kamadhenu pleased Krishna so much that from that day onwards Krishna says there, that Dhenunam Asmi Kamadhuk, among the cows I am Kamadhenu, because she has performed, pleased me by her activity. So you can see that certain personalities Krishna has given importance, saying that it's me in them. It's they are there because of me. They have their special relationship with me. Dhenunam Asmi Kamadhuk, Prajanaschasmi Kandarpa Sarpanamasmi Vasugim. In the next one, Krishna says that Prajanaschasmi Kandarpa, among the prajas, I am Kandarpa. Kandarpa means this Kamadeva. Kamadeva is me. You may wonder why Kamadeva is me, why Krishna mentions like that. In the Vedic system, even the dharmam and kaman, they all have some special significance and also certain glorious position. Kamam, when it is used for sense gratification, that is dangerous. But for increasing the progeny, in there Kamadeva has a role there to play. And even the literature, Vedic literature, also contain part of it, as the Valsyayana's Kama Sutram is also part of that. But people misunderstand things and take it in the wrong way. But whatever it is, Krishna says here, Prajanam, Prajanaschasmi Kandarpa, Sarpanamasmi Vasugi. Among the sarpam, among the snakes, I am Vasugi, Krishna says. Vasugi was used while churning the milk ocean. Vasugi was used to hold the Mandara mountain. On one side the demigods, and the other side the demons, they were holding and they were churning the ocean. That is how it was done. So Vasugi has pleased Krishna by her service to him. Vasugi is always present on Lord Shiva's neck. That's Vasugi. So Krishna says, Sarpanamasmi Vasugi. Then, Anandaschasmi Naganam Varuno Yadasamaham Pidanamaryama Chasmi Yamasayamadamaham. That among the Nagam, among the snakes, I am Ananda, Adishesha. Nagas are those snakes which has no poison. That is why Sarpam and Nagam are two different categories. Sarpams have got poison, Nagas have no poison, but they have a similar bodily configuration. So among the Nagas, Krishna says Ananta, Adishesha, or Balaram, or Sankarsana, they are all same. And that's me, Krishna says. Anandas chasmi Naganam, Varuno Yadasa Maham, Pituna Aryama chasmi Yamasayamada Maham. That among the Yadasam, I am Varuna. Among the Pitralokam, I am Aryama. And Yama, among those who are supposed to establish the law, or those give the punishment, I am Yama. So in other words, when you get beaten, you must think it is Krishna beating you. That when somebody beats you up, you think that it's Krishna is beating you. Krishna says, when someone is getting that, they should remember me at that time. Yama samyodamaham. Then, prahladaschasmi daityanam kala kalayadamaham mrgenancha mrgendroham vainadeyascha dakshinam. Next one. Prahladaschasmi daityanam. So, daityas. Hiranyakashipu was born from Didi Devi, isn't it? Kashipu Prajapati had two wives, Aditi Devi and Didi Devi. From Aditi came the demigods, and from Didi came the demons. And from Didi Devi, two sons were born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu's son was Prahlada. Now, Prahlada, Krishna says, I am Prahlada. Why? Why Prahlada? Nobody else. Krishna says, Prahladascha daityanam. Among the demons, I am Prahlada, Krishna says. Although born in the demonic race, Krishna was pleased with Prahlada. That you have to see, read the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, to know Prahlada's glory. What is Prahlada's glory? Prahlada's glory is this, that when Narasimhamurti came here, when Narasimhamurti appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu at that time, how did he kill Hiranyakashipu? That whole story you know in the seventh canto. The Hiranyakashipu has taken this special benediction from Brahma that he will not be killed during the day, during the night, not by weapons, not by by a man, nor by an animal. All kinds of conditions he has put on, and Brahma has said, okayed everything. So this, with the strength of this boon, Hiranyakashipu decided to punish Prahlada as well as to challenge Vishnu. So it was then that Krishna disappeared as Narasimhamurti. That story is known, and decided to kill Hiranyakashipu. That evening, when Hiranyakashipu was killed, very last minute, eventually when Krishna pulled Hiranyakashipu and put it on his lap, lying down, put his right foot, Narasimhamurti put his right foot on the 2 feet of Hiranyakashipu, and with several hands, many hands Narasimhamurti had, with few hands he held Hiranyakashipu's throat and held it, pushed it down. He was struggling very hard to come out. He couldn't come out from there. He couldn't escape. He was using all his strength to come out. So Krishna says, you stay there now. I'm going to do the next operation. What was the next operation? Both the hands, two hands he picked out, and it had such long nails on them, like the powerful nails of the lion, half man, half lion form, and pushed it inside Narasimhamurti's stomach and ripped it off. And from there, inside started the blood flowing out. And not being satisfied with that, Narasimhamurti also pulled out the intestines and put it as a garland on his neck. He put this garland on the neck. You can imagine that mood of Narasimhamurti. You know, in Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find how many people had come to pacify Narasimhamurti at that time. Brahma comes, Shiva comes, Mahalakshmi comes, and all the all the other demigods, Gandharvas comes, Kinnaras comes, Nagas comes, Charanas comes, everyone is listed one after the other. They've all come to pacify him, seeing that anger. They have never seen this before, any time in the history, an anger like this from Krishna coming in this form. So first who came was Brahma comes, oh that's okay, now the job is done, Hiranyakashipu is killed, I will go and pay my obeisance. But as he got closer, he got frightened, seeing this whole scene, what was going on there. So Brahma thought, maybe Mahalakshmi goes and talks to Narasimhamurti, perhaps he will cool down. After all, Mahalakshmi is his consort, isn't he? In Vaikuntham is concerned, Mahalakshmi is a concern. So, Mahalakshmi, Brahma pushed Mahalakshmi in the front to go and pacify. He was frightened to go closer. When Mahalakshmi saw the mood, she realized that it's not a very happy condition now. So, it says like this. When she came like a creeper, in a singing and dancing in a full of confidence mood. But as soon as she saw the mood, she realized that she can't approach. So they say that she ran away like Lord Ramchandra's arrow. That was the speed at which she left the scene and ran away from Narasimhamurti. So all these things have happened and Narasimhamurti was in such anger mood. And nobody knew, everyone was looking each other, what to do now. Somehow if this anger don't subside, the whole creation may come to an end. That was the mood at that time. That anger towards Hiranyakashipu, or what he has done to Prahlada, that was. So then this idea came up that if Prahlada goes and speaks to Narasimhamurti, perhaps it may work. So they pushed Prahlada in front to go to him. Bhagavatam says like this, Naham vibhem majidate di bhayanakasya jihuaka netra prugudura sabogradam shtral andrasraja sharajakesra shankarna nurhada gita vithabil diravinnakhagral. That what has happened was that when Prahlada comes to Narasimhamurti, when Prahlada saw Narasimhamurti, that Naham vibhe majidate di bhayanakasya, Prahlada says to Narasimhamurti, I am not frightened of this form. Why? All your special form, jihu arka netra bhragudira sabhogradam shtral, that two damshtras, or that special teeth of which was protruding out, and in the hands holding his father's intestines in the hand, that was the mood, and wearing it as a garland. And Prahlada is saying to Narasimhamurti, I am not frightened of you. He says, can you imagine that scene in front of you, that your own father has been killed by Narasimhamurti, and has still the anger has not gone in him. But when Prahlada comes here, and when Prahlada touched Narasimhamurti's lotus feet, and that immediately Narasimhamurti's anger has gone, and took Prahlada on his lap and embraced him. Why did he do that? he felt that I have done something, after all I have taken away his father. That was Narasimha Murthy's mood. So naham bibhe majrate iti bhayanakasya jihvarka netra brigadira sagugra damstral andrasraja akshadaya kesara shanga garna. So that courage of Prahlada, Narasimha Murthy appreciated that. Narasimha Murthy appreciated that. That he could come to Narasimha Murthy. From where did Prahlada get this confidence? Where did he get this confidence? Because Prahlada knew that I am Krishna's devotee. Krishna will not let me down anytime. If I am Krishna's devotee, will not Krishna protect me? This mood of Prahlada was appreciated by Narasimha Murthy. This mood of Prahlada was appreciated by Narasimha Murthy. Is this the reason why Prahlada's name is mentioned here? No, it's not. You may think that all this has happened for Prahlada. So you must be thinking that because Prahlada has acted like this, that with courage and that devotion, that he approached Narasimha Murthy. Therefore Krishna says, Prahladas chescha daityanam, that I am Prahlada among the daityas. No, Bhagavad Gita is not saying that. That's not the reason. There is another reason for that. What is that reason? Reason is this. That after all this incident was over, after all the incidents was over, Narasimha Murthy asked Prahlada, ask for a boon from me. Ask for a boon from me. And what is the most wonderful thing in Prahlada's words to Narasimha Murthy? Narasimha Murthy was insisting on Prahlada to ask for a boon from him. And Prahlada says, no, if I ask for a boon, then it becomes a business. I don't want that with you. That relationship, I don't want with you. That I serve you and you ask me to ask for a boon and I ask for a boon, it becomes completely a business. That's not devotion. Clearly, this example of Prahlada is important. Prahlada is teaching us Krishna consciousness is not a business. Krishna consciousness is meant for elevating oneself into spiritual life. Otherwise, anyone could take to this Krishna consciousness process and make it as a business deal. Prahlada did not want that. Prahlada wanted people to become devotees. And therefore, he made the greatest example to the human society how important it is to become a devotee, not a businessman. So, through this pastime, Prahlada says to Narasimha Murthy, I do not want anything because I don't want a business with you. Narasimha Murthy says no, insists that you must ask for a boon. Prahlada says, if you insist, then the only one boon I can ask you is this. He says that you should make me in such a way that I will never get any desire, any time to ask for a boon. That's the only boon I want from you. He says to Narasimha Murthy. Narasimha Murthy did not know what to answer to this question. In addition to that, Prahlada said something else which is much more important. That is much more important. And that is what made Prahlada as Krishna's own person, own man, like Narada Maharshi. What is that? Prahlada says to his friends there at that time that if everybody thinks they think about the welfare of the other person, if they think about the welfare of the other person and act in that way, and that person thinks of the welfare of the other person, the person who has thought good about him, in that way, if they think each other, will that not be a greatest thing in this world? In other words, Prahlada's words were such that Krishna got this great idea from Prahlada at that time. It was from Prahlada's prayers. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita this thing coming up earlier. Krishna kept these words in his mind. Krishna kept these things in his mind. And he says to, in the third chapter, if you look, you will see there third chapter verse 11 devan bhavayate ne devan bhavayata nena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyada. This idea, parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyada, this was spoken by Prahlada to his friends at that time. Prahlada spoke this idea to his friends that between people this relationship should exist. Parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyada, that mutually they should desire the welfare of the other side. Mutually they should cultivate this habit. Shreya paramavapsyada devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyada. Between the demigods and the human society, this is the relationship Krishna has established. This idea of this mutual recognition of the welfare of the creation was invented by Prahlada. And Narasimha Murthy heard this from Prahlada, and Narasimha Murthy kept that in his mind. And that came about later on in the Bhagavad Gita, in the form of this verse. Te devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyatha. Where did Krishna get this idea? It came from Prahlada. Prahlada spoke about this, and Krishna kept it in Narasimha Murthy, kept this in his mind, and when the right opportunity came, Krishna put that in the Bhagavad Gita. That is how that verse has come. So, because this has come from Prahlada, Krishna says here in the Bhagavad Gita that the that Prahladas chasmi daityanam, among the daityas I am Prahlada. Now you can see so many visible scenes in this world. The Himalayas, the sun, the moon, the ocean, they are Krishna's representatives in this world. Great personalities like Bhrigu, Srinarada Maharshi, Prahlada, and so many others in this world. They are all Krishna's vibhudis. We'll continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.